Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, if at first you don't succeed, and you know the rest, and so does Mayor Bloomberg, who is trying for the third time to figure out a way to get New Yorkers to drink less sugary soft drinks. The soda tax couldn't get approval from the three power brokers in Albany. The Fed said no to banning food stamp purchases of the drinks. Now the administration thinks they've found a solution. They will amend the city health code to prohibit the sale of sodas larger than 16 ounces. They can do this in part because only the administration regulates these health department overseen restaurants and food service establishments. We'll explain further with Michael Howard Saul, who covers City Hall for the Wall Street Journal. Hi, Michael. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks so much for having me.
And listeners, we'll get the phones open right away on this. What do you think? Nanny state or finally someone taking action to solve the public health issues related to obesity? Call us at 212-433-WNYC. And you can get our comments page percolating right away, 212-433-9692. Again, the phone number or at WNYC.org for the comments page. So, Michael, this is just by way of background here. This is the latest salvo in the mayor's public health efforts. We've compiled a montage of some of his greatest hits.
Everybody says the next big public health issue is obesity. Well, if you want to do something about it, it's going to require some decisions.
By making heavily sugared drinks just a little bit more expensive, we can make a major dent in obesity.
Smoking kills you, and we have an obligation to tell people about
that. You want to eat fries? Nobody's taking away your ability to eat fries.
Isn't that adults and parents' job and society's job and government's job?
There you go. So he's been at this for a while. And let's run through some of the specifics here. This would apply to movie theaters, sports venues, the Times today said, even stadiums, as if that was so outrageous compared to anything else. Theaters, sports venues, food carts, and restaurants, and also delis that make prepared food. Any of these that get a letter grade from the health board or the Department of Health. It would not apply to other bodegas and grocery stores that just sell things off the shelves. Why are these the distinctions? Michael, are you there?
I think these are the distinctions because these are where people, I guess, actually drink the beverages rather than take them home and maybe use, you know, on at multiple meals. I think the idea here is that if you're going to be drinking at a location, whether it's a restaurant or at a movie theater or at a stadium while you're sitting in your seat, the idea is that you would be using a container that would be small, according to this proposal.
And I think it's also because the mayor doesn't need anybody else's approval to regulate those venues on the list. He would, I think, if it was to ban, let's say, 20-ounce soda sales, you know, these ubiquitous 20-ounce bottles that we see, if he wanted to ban them from supermarkets, let's say, I don't think he has the power to do that unilaterally. He does through the health department with these food service establishments that serve prepared foods. Am I understanding that correctly?
Correct. I mean, there's certainly a major element here is the politics of this and the route that the mayor has taken by going through the health board, which he controls. He doesn't need anybody's approval. He doesn't need to go through the city council. He doesn't need to go through the state. He doesn't need to go through anybody to enact this proposal. But I think the administration might also argue that, I mean, at a grocery store, you might pick up a 2-liter bottle of soda. And from what I can tell, from based at least on what they've said thus far, it isn't as if they're trying to prevent a family from, you know, picking up a 2-liter bottle that they might use over 2 weeks or 3 weeks. The
right.
Idea here is that when you're sitting at a single meal, or if you're at a game, the idea is to try to limit the intake of these sugary drinks.
Fruit juices exempt, even though they can be just as sugary. Diet sodas exempt. Flavored waters with less than 25 calories exempt. Also vending machine sales, I gather. Is that right?
I am not 100% sure on that. I mean, this obviously just came out late yesterday, but I have not heard whether or not the vending machines would be affected.
And my guess is that the vending machines, which I've read would not be affected, would also be because they don't have the power to regulate them unilaterally. Coffee and tea, interesting category. Again, my understanding is if you go into your local deli and ask for a sweetened coffee or an ordinary tea with sugar, you can't get it under this rule larger than 16 ounces. But if you're in Starbucks or somewhere and you're getting a latte or something else that's mostly milk, even if it's heavily sweetened, that would be exempt. Is that your understanding?
Right. I mean, the precise definition that I was provided was that beverages sweetened with sugar or another caloric sweetener that contains more than 25 calories per 8 fluid ounces and contains less than 51% milk or milk substitute by volume as an ingredient would be what would fit the definition. So it's very specific and very detailed. So as you mentioned, you know, for example, diet soda or a milkshake or a sweetened latte larger than 16 ounces would not be prohibited under this ban, but others could be.
All right. Michael Saul, City Hall Bureau Chief for The Wall Street Journal. Thank you for starting us off on this. We now have the New York City Health Commissioner on the line, Dr. Thomas Farley. Dr. Farley, welcome back to WNYC. Thanks so much for coming on about this.
Thank you for covering it. Good morning.
So can I get you on some of the emerging possible contradictions here? Fruit juices, which I think health experts will say are really about as bad for you in terms of the sugar content, even though they're not externally sweetened, are exempt. And the coffee and tea that we were just talking about, people are raising even a class issue here. If you go and you get a regular coffee with sugar or regular tea with sugar, that would be limited, but not if you get the more expensive, fancier lattes and stuff because they're largely milk. Can you address those things?
Well, first, just the big picture. We have a crisis of obesity in America today. 2/3 of Americans are obese or overweight. The numbers continue to rise. 1 in 4 military recruits are denied because they're overweight. So we need to do something on this. And there's strong evidence of this link between the sugary drinks and weight gain, as well as diabetes and as well as heart disease. So we try to limit our proposal to what we consider to be the biggest aspect of the problem, which are the huge portion sizes of just the sugary drinks, and try to be as restricted to that as possible. So as far as the exceptions you talk about, we accepted those drinks which have real nutritional value, unlike the plain sugar water. So 100% fruit juice does have real nutritional value, and for the most part, because it's expensive to produce, they don't sell it in the 64-ounce, the huge portions. Milk also has nutritional value, so that was excluded. Coffee, you know, if people want sweetened coffee, they can order it, and for the most part, I mean, if you order it without sweetener, you can add as much sweetener as you want, but for the most part, people are not getting the high levels of sugar coming with them in a coffee.
So coffee with sugar, even if you say coffee with one sugar, couldn't go over 16 ounces, correct?
It depends if it's up to if it's less than 25 calories per 8 ounce. I think if people want coffee with one sugar, probably to be in the safe side, and more than 16 ounces, they just order it black and then go and add as much sugar as they want. And it's worth pointing out that this proposal doesn't prohibit anybody from drinking as much as they want, from ordering as much as they want, or stores from selling as much as they want. They would simply, if somebody wants 32 ounces of a sugary drink, they can order 2 16-ouncers. And if restaurants want to sell that, they can sell two for one if they want.
They can give free refills or
correct.
Whatever.
What it just does is it gives people a guide for what would be the most appropriate maximum portion size of these drinks, which really are contributing to this major health problem.
The New York City Beverage Association, the lobby group for the industry, says soda consumption is falling even as obesity is rising. So they're questioning the link in the first place. What would you say to them?
There is absolutely a link between sugary drink consumption and weight gain. There has been some reduction in soda consumption, but what we're seeing is there's still plenty of consumption of other sugary drinks, such as things that are called sports drinks and called energy drinks. These are still sugary drinks in another form, so that there are enormous amounts of sugar going into the American diet through these drinks, and it's causing this major health problem.
Someone pointed out to me that it's ironic, in their opinion, that the mayor is trying to impose this, but opposes the proposed city council legislation to require bicycle helmets, seen as a public health issue. Do you have any comment on that?
No, I don't have a comment on that. Our focus really is on obesity, which is a major health crisis causing thousands of New Yorkers each year to die. One in eight adult New Yorkers has diabetes. We think this really demands action.
Any reaction to the little phrase in the Times coverage today? Of course, they made this the lead story on the upper right of the New York Times, and it says the proposed ban would affect virtually the entire menu of popular sugary drinks found in delis, fast food franchises, and even sports arenas. I found it amusing that they said even sports arenas. Like, this is one thing if it comes from your corner diner, but how could they ban this at Madison Square Garden?
You know, what we want to do is establish some sort of guide to people about what is the appropriate maximum amount you'd want to drink. You know, in the 1950s, when you got a bottle of Coke, it was 6.5 ounces, and they advertised that a 16-ounce bottle was big enough for three. So the 16-ounce container is still a pretty large drink. And these days, it's got, you know, maybe 180 calories. There's plenty in there. And we don't think it's appropriate to be sending people a message that it's appropriate to drink a 64-ounce drink.
Can you do this unilaterally, as we were emphasizing earlier, that this is why the proposal is coming out this way, because you don't have to go through Albany, you don't have to go through city council?
Well, it is true that the mayor has focused on sugary drinks in other ways as well, and proposing a tax on sugary drinks and proposing things which needed to go through the federal government. This is something which the city government cannot do, the mayor cannot do unilaterally, but we can propose it to the Board of Health, and the Board of Health is a group of 11 health experts appointed by the mayor. These people are very concerned about the obesity epidemic, and so we'll see, but I would think they would be supportive of this.
Keywords, appointed by the mayor. Do you have good public health research to back up a conclusion that there would actually be public health outcomes, positive public health outcomes, as a result of this kind of rule? Or has it just not been tried anywhere like this, so there's no real data?
We have lots of data to suggest that this would work. There are many studies that show that if you give people larger portions, they simply consume more without recognizing that they consume more, or without eating less at the same time or at subsequent meals. So if you give people smaller portions, they'll probably consume less. We also know that there's increasing research of this really unique connection between these sugary drinks and obesity and diabetes, so that if we do get people to reduce their consumption somewhat, there should be a health benefit to that. So those combined make us think that this is has a strong likelihood that it's going to really have an impact on the major epidemic.
New York City Health Commissioner Dr. Thomas Farley, thank you for giving us a few minutes on this. We'll see how this goes.
Okay, thank you.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC, let's get some of your reactions now to the mayor's proposed ban on sugary drink sales over 16 ounces if they are in health department regulated establishments. So again, if you're just joining us, restaurants would be covered, delis that serve prepared foods would be covered, stadiums would be covered since they serve prepared food, grocery stores would not be covered, delis that don't sell prepared foods would not be covered, vending machines would be exempt. Edward in Jamaica, you're on WNYC. Hello, Edward. What do you think?
Yeah, hello. How you doing?
All right.
Basically, it's a good idea. I mean, primarily, this is a niche proposal that focuses on a specific venue, and more people don't realize it's, and it's more directed towards children, because basically it focuses on stores similar to 7-Eleven that sell those big gulp and those large gulp soda, fountain sodas,
right,
that are full of high fructose corn syrup and sugars, and they give cheap refills. So I don't agree with everything the mayor does, but I think this is it may be a little facile and a little sensational, but it's a good idea. It starts with the youth, because juvenile diabetes is what's running rampant in this country, and diabetes is a progressive chronic disease as far as insulin resistance. And if you start young, you can hopefully save a couple of people. And if I lived in Europe for about 2 or 3 years, mm-hmm. and portion sizes are completely different from the United States. Sodas, food, even stores, the portions are smaller. And diabetes is a much lower occurrence. It's a disease of excess, basically.
Edward, thank you very much. Yeah. And you're right about the portion sizes in other countries, from my experience, and also, as Commissioner Farley rightly pointed out, in this country, it's just been expanding as to what we perceive as normal in terms of portion sizes of drinks over time. People who are adults today, when you were kids, it probably wasn't so common. The 20-ounce soda bottle, which is ubiquitous now, was not common when I was a kid. And there was no, you know, and certainly the big gulps have been expanding, and 32-ounce drinks that you get with a cup at McDonald's or Chipotle or anywhere, just not ubiquitous in the past. Mia in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mia.
Hi, good morning. I'm just thinking about this new legislation being proposed, and I was honestly against previous legislation that would have banned sodas, but I think that this one's good because restaurants are held to higher serving standards, and Americans need help recognizing health concerns. You know, medical costs are bankrupting Americans, and we've already banned trans fats and regulated other practices to reduce harm. It doesn't stop someone from ordering two small sodas at McDonald's. They may still do that, but maybe they'll be a little bit more aware of their behaviors, and maybe next time they'll choose not to buy two.
Are you making a distinction between this as a good ban and the previous attempts to limit soda purchases as bad?
I'm suggesting that maybe it's less restrictive and still effective. I don't know that we necessarily need to restrict behaviors, but this, I think, discourages the unhealthy ones.
Thank you very much. Steve in the East Village, you're on WNYC. Steve, what do you think?
I do think that this is nanny statism at its finest. It's a short version of tax, you know, like a tax on cigarettes. Yes, the tax on cigarettes has lowered cigarette consumption. So, well, you have to buy two 10-ounce or 12-ounce vessels of your sugary soda. Therefore, it's going to cost you more. Therefore, you know, there'll be less of it. My issue here is not only the rule by fiat, but also there's no education. You know, if we teach the children that this stuff is going to turn you into a balloon and it's not going to be healthy for you and you're going to die early and get diabetes and so on and so forth, it'll stick with the kids if you educate them at an early age. We're not in an environment, we're not in a country that appreciates small things. We love excess. We love large.
So you're saying, though, only teach the children as individuals, but don't do anything to stop the corporate pressure for them to drink more and more larger portion sizes.
Well, then you'd have to go into limiting advertising to kids for cereals and for sodas and sugary this and sugary that. I mean, what is it? I'm not suggesting that advertising to children is good, and I'm not suggesting that children drinking sodas is good, but this is aimed at everybody. You know, if you're really focusing on children, then focus on children, mm-hmm. and you know, make it like cigarettes. You can't have sugary sodas if you're under age 18 or something like that.
But interesting. Steve, I'm going to leave it there. I appreciate your points. And, of course, this is aimed at everybody, not just children, according to the mayor. By the way, Michael Saul from the Wall Street Journal, who was our first guest on this, told us off the air, 7-Elevens expanding in the city would be exempt. They don't fall under that kind of restaurant category, which is regulated by the health department. So the Big Gulp, which itself is becoming emblematic of this whole conversation already, would be exempt. So according to Michael Saul's reporting anyway, his understanding as City Hall Bureau Chief of the Wall Street Journal, Big Gulp, 7-Eleven, exempt from this proposed rule. Marion Nessel, NYU nutrition professor, joining us now briefly. Hi, Marion.
Hi.
Give me your best public health understanding. You heard me ask Commissioner Farley if there's data that indicates that this would actually reduce obesity and not just be a big pain for everybody. Can you back that up?
I think I heard the probably in his response. And I don't think we have the data for that yet. But we do have data that the environment, that is the kinds of foods that, and portion sizes that are offered to people, have a very big difference in the number of calories that they take in on a daily basis. And as I keep saying, if I had one thing I could educate the public about, it's that larger portions have more calories. It's almost a joke, but people don't have an intuitive conceptual grasp of that concept. I don't think it's easy to teach it. And a much easier way is to make the default a smaller portion. Right now we have a default situation in which large portions are offered everywhere, and they encourage people to eat too much. And so let's just change the default. I think it's a brilliant move. And it's really looking at the data and looking at the kinds of things that encourage people to eat too much and saying, what can we change without making an enormous political difference? You know, without stopping the food industry from marketing, you know, which maybe is a great idea but would be very difficult to do, without having to go through the government, what can we do? We can do this. Not a bad idea.
Lambert from the Bronx comments on our webpage. What about unintended consequences? Soda addicts heading for picnics will buy many more smaller bottles and leave more of them behind in the parks to be cleaned up and wind up in landfills. Public health versus environmental health?
Seems unlikely. There's so much evidence. I mean, here's where the research is really solid, that people eat the size of the amount that's in the container. They don't buy more to do that. They eat the amount that's in the container. So in that sense, having a smaller container is a really good idea. And remember, when these sodas came out originally, they were 6 to 8 ounces. Years and years and years ago, back when people were a lot thinner than they are now.
Marion Nessel, professor in the Department of Nutrition, Food Studies and Public Health, and professor of sociology at NYU. She blogs at foodpolitics.com. And her new book, very relevant, is Why Calories Count. Thank you very much for chiming in.
My pleasure.
Marion Nessel, we heard from Michael Saul, the City Hall Bureau Chief for the Wall Street Journal reporting on this, and the New York City Health Commissioner, Thomas Farley, Mayor Bloomberg's new proposal to ban the sale of sugary drinks in most food serving establishments if they're over 16 ounces. Again, not included. Bodegas, grocery stores, even 7-Elevens and their big gulps because they're not considered restaurants.
Yeah, I want some Pepsi or some root beer. I be all in 7-Eleven like I live there. Yo, big company, I be gulping it. Big company, I be gulping it. Big company, I be gulping it. I be gulping, I be gulping it.